Cliff Wood, you were named in June as the new executive director of the Providence Foundation. For people who are not familiar with the foundation, tell us a little bit about it and what it does.
The Providence Foundation is over 40 years old, and its mission is to create economic development opportunities in the city of Providence. We focus on downtown, but our concern is for the entire city, and as well as for the well-being, economic well-being and cultural well-being of the state of Rhode Island.
Where does the foundation get its financial support?
Primarily, it's a membership organization. However, we raise outside funds for things like capital improvement projects and the like.
Both in your new job and your previous job, you've had a strong interest in Kennedy Plaza, the future of Kennedy Plaza. That's been a source of public concern. The area has come to be associated largely with transient people and the homeless. Tell us what your vision is for Kennedy Plaza and what the plan is for getting there.
Well, healthy public space is an integral aspect of economic and social well-being in any city. Kennedy Plaza, not unlike other communities, is a public space that the city or the municipality has had trouble making function at the level it needs to for a healthy city. So we did what's been done in lots of other places, was creating a public-private partnership to address those concerns. And we've made lots of progress over the last 8 or 9 years working on that project. We have a legacy at the foundation of economic and cultural development through public space, through public infrastructure. So the relocation of the highway, relocation of the river, this is just part of that legacy. Kennedy Plaza itself, we look to see it as a part of a network of public spaces that we're building that runs throughout the entire downtown to connect from Kennedy Plaza, Water Place, Riverwalk, the new bridge and the new park being on 195 land, to be an attraction for real estate development, for cultural opportunities, for people in the neighborhoods to come and enjoy their downtown, tourism opportunities. So we're taking what was a detriment in Kennedy Plaza and turning that into a complement for our other economic development and social purposes and priorities in Providence.
Flesh that out a little bit more. How will Kennedy Plaza be made into a more vibrant public space of the type that you described?
Well, for instance, we're cutting the ribbon for Brandon's Beach, a playground that's underwritten by Hasbro and the Goldners, amongst others, to create a destination, part of this ongoing process. Over time, iteratively, we've done more and more positive activities in that space. And really the best way to make a space work is to have healthy activities, healthy, vibrant activities, supplant those things that are less healthy for the community.
I have to tell you, I think some people are a little bit skeptical about how much things are changing in Kennedy Plaza. About 3 years ago, almost $2.5 million in public funds was spent on a redesign in the plaza. A lot of people think not much has changed. How do you respond?
And this is an iterative process. We're unfolding it over time based on available resources. To give you some sense of relativity, Bryant Park, which is mentioned quite often as a success story in this kind of an endeavor.
Bryant Park in New York City.
In New York City, next to the public library, was known as Needle Park or Junkie Park. They've transformed themselves as a space that's spurred, again, economic and cultural activity in the center of New York. They started that project with an $18 million upfront investment from several sources. They also have a $12 million annual operating budget. So what I'm saying is not that we have those expectations here in Providence. We have to adjust our expectations. But know that $2 million, $500,000 from Champlin that was underwritten by Champlin to do infrastructure improvements in Burnside Park, a significant investment at that scale from Hasbro. We've been invested in by Southwest Air. Again, these things are building up over time, and we really see this being a real asset soon.
You talk about the transformation of Bryant Park in New York City from a haven for addicts to a very welcoming, vibrant public space. How long did that take, and how long will it take in Providence before Kennedy Plaza takes a different look?
I believe it was a 12-year process, I think, from starting to when you started seeing the turning around. I would add that we have seen much improvement. For those people who do participate in the social activities, the cultural activities, the food trucks, the public programming, the kids program, those things that have been underwritten by Southwest Air, by Hasbro, It's a very different landscape than it was in 2007 when we started in 2008. It's not our final destination. We're still working on the building of the intermodal hub, which will both improve transit in Rhode Island by creating places for people to hold over where they need to be, not being forced into the center of the city. At the same time, create a balance between multiple activities that will include transit in Kennedy Plaza.
A related issue is the density of downtown Providence. It seems like there's very high demand for residential space in and around downtown. So what would it take to create more residential or occupational density that would bring more people out into Kennedy Plaza?
Obviously, predictability in terms of what people have expectations for what their taxes will be over time, some way for people to interface with government at the state and city level so they know what to expect in terms of our processes. I know that we have one of the lowest vacancy rates in any city in America, so the demand is there. I think if we can then go ahead and make it an attractive place, which includes those kinds of things like commercial tax rates, as well as about the environment, getting back to the public space aspect, people choose where they want to be based on their environment. Cities that are thriving, innovation districts that are thriving because they're focusing in part on combining those sort of more traditional economic development realities and expectations with creating an environment that attracts the kind of people, that attracts people in general to contribute to the local economy and be part of our larger community.
Earlier this year, the Providence City Council passed a ban on smoking in and around Kennedy Plaza. Was that something that you, as an advocate for Kennedy Plaza, supported?
If you look around the country, public parks, public spaces, it's pretty typical that smoking is not allowed as well as in transit centers. Typically, smoking, South Station in Boston, you can't smoke a cigarette waiting for a train. I recognize that there was a lot of debate around it. But again, it's a typical response for shared space.
And you're a former Providence City Councilor. I wonder how you look at the role of politics in terms of trying to improve a public space. Does politics help the process or make it more difficult?
The notion of people being involved in the decision is very helpful. Again, this is a public space. It certainly has an important role in our economic development for the city. You're creating a place where people want to do business, where people want to visit, where people want to live. And as much as the people are involved in that, that's what we want. We want to see how they want to use their space. The city of Providence is over half the GDP of the state. So what we do down here is for the well-being of the state of Rhode Island. And I want people in Providence and elsewhere to understand that this is their community and that this is their downtown. And I invite them, very strongly invite them, to be part of that dialogue.
Cliff Wood, Executive Director of the Providence Foundation, thank you for sitting down with us.
It's my pleasure, Ian. Thank you for having me.